From Hollywood, the three guilds of the motion picture industry.
The Screen Actors Guild.
The Screen Directors Guild.
The Screen Writers Guild.
Present a cast of Hollywood's best-known stars who are gathered here tonight to bring to your attention the need to preserve the federal theater and other federal arts from extinction. I'm going to ask them to call out their names as I point to them.
Walter Abel.
Patricia Morrison.
Dick Powell.
Gloria Dixon.
Robert Benchley.
Ralph Bellamy.
Gail Sundergaard.
Joan Blondell.
Hugh Herbert.
Henry Fonda.
James Cagney.
Al Jolson.
Lionel Barrymore.
Last week in Washington, D.C., the House of Representatives voted against the appropriation of funds necessary to continue the federal theater and arts projects.
This week, the Senate of the United States will vote on the same issue. Will decide whether Americans shall or shall not continue to enjoy the plays, the radio programs, the sculpture, the painting, the music, the general education which the federal arts projects have brought to them for the past 3 years. Whether thousands of highly skilled men and women whose peculiar talents do not allow them to be easily absorbed in general employment shall be obliged to go hungry because their country's Congress did not recognize their great value to their fellow citizens.
Let's go back to 1936 to hear some of the people applying at the federal projects. April 1936.
No use sitting around here. There's no work I can do.
Have you thought about the federal arts project? The government is trying to put unemployed actors, artists, writers, sculptors, and musicians to work. All artists that have some useful talent to give to the nation.
I wonder if they could use a mural painter. I'll find out.
What is your name, please?
James Michael Newell.
Well, I think we have something you can do, Mr. Newell.
And Mr. Newell went to work.
Later, 1938.
And to you, Mr. James Michael Newell, for your distinguished contribution to mural painting, I take great pleasure in presenting the gold medal of the Architectural League, which has not been presented for 5 years because no work was deemed worthy of the award.
There's a new man at the Viola.
Yeah, that's right. Where's Jimmy?
Ah, he's off the project. Got a permanent position with the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
And virtually every symphony orchestra in the country today has musicians whose skill and talent were preserved and developed by the Federal Music Project.
1936.
And what do you do, please?
I'm a novelist.
Can you do some historical research for the Federal Writers Project?
Yes, sir. Gladly.
Are you familiar with California?
It's my home.
What's your name, please?
John Steinbeck.
1939. The foremost literary critics of America are asking seriously whether Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck may not be the greatest novel ever written by an American.
What's your profession, please?
I'm an actress.
And your name?
Gloria Dixon.
We're putting you to work tomorrow in the Federal Theater, Miss Dixon.
Thank you.
We're
glad to welcome you to our motion picture studio, Miss Dixon, and I hope you'll be one of our biggest stars.
Thank you, sir.
Tonight, June 26, 1939.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for giving me the chance to be here this evening, to do what I can to help save the Federal Arts Project, which did so much for me.
Hello there, Miss Dixon.
Well, hello, Dick Powell. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Miss Dixon, a few years ago, I remember seeing you in a play in some little theater here in town. What happened to you after that?
Well, for a while, I didn't have so much luck, so I dropped in at one of the federal theaters one day when they were holding trials.
Were you a success right off the bat?
Well, let's just say I was lucky. But I did get the part of Diane in the Federal Theater Project's production of Seventh Heaven in Los Angeles. And finally, there I was with a brand new contract to work in pictures.
Gloria, as a graduate, what's your feeling about the Federal Theater Project closing?
Well, it'd be awful, Dick. My work taught me many things. It offers unparalleled opportunities to people of talent. to do the work they're fitted for.
Ah, swell sentiment, Gloria Dixon. And given in just the distinguished fashion that you would give it in. Thanks a lot.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Dick Powell will sing the one song that through the years has become the personal and spiritual property of everyone in the country. The reason for Dick singing this song tonight, you'll know before it's finished. Here is Dick Powell and My Old Kentucky Home.
The sun shines bright in the old Kentucky home. It's summer, the darkies are gay. The corn tops ripe and the meadows in the bloom, while the birds make music all the day. Weep no more, my lady. Oh, weep no more today. We will sing one song for the old Kentucky home, for the old Kentucky home far away.
I think you will agree that this song and the comparatively few others by the same author are a part of America to every man, woman, and child who lives here. It's occurred to us that if there had been a federal arts project to give Stephen Foster employment in the days when he was a struggling writer, starving in New York, we might have had hundreds of other golden melodies that would have made Americans feel even closer to the earth of our country. But there wasn't a federal arts project, and a young genius died in poverty. Who knows how many future contributions to America may never be born if we do not take care of the artists who need food and opportunity in order to create them.
We will sing one song for the old Kentucky home, for the old Kentucky home far away.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the artists who are here this evening announce themselves, and since then, Mr. Robert Benchley has joined us. You've heard them all by names. Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't see you. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Donald Duck in person.
I'm right here, Donald. But I thought you came here tonight to protest against the closing of the Federal Theater. Well, Donald, I'm glad you agree. As a matter of fact, we haven't found any arguments for destroying the Federal Theater.
Well, I have.
You mean arguments against continuing the arts project?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember them? Your secretary? Why, it's Donald's secretary, Clara Cluck. Well, Clara, did you take down any of those arguments against the Federal Theater Project? Well, read us just what the opposition has to say. Yes, Donald, I think you've earned the right to sing.
Oh,
Holly Flanagan, National Director of the Federal Theater Project, has written a dramatic narrative, The Florida Wheel, a panorama of the traveling companies in just one state of our nation. Gordon Jenkins directs the orchestra with original music by Victor Young. We present a section of Florida Wheel with the following cast in the order of their appearance. Ralph Bellamy, Gloria Dixon, Walter Abel, Gail Sundergaard, Patricia Morrison, Henry Fonda, Hugh Herbert, Joan Blondell, and James Keck.
We played our Humpka, and they came in by oxcart. They came in with lanterns to see Twelfth Night. An old man, barefoot, helping children from an oxcart, said, "They may be pretty young to understand it, but I want they should all be able to say they've seen Shakespeare. I did once, when I was a kid."
We played Live Oak, Madison, Monticello. We played the Funny Act Spring. Wachula was a place where we played musical comedy and no one laughed. The director went out and said, "What's the matter? Don't you like it? Why don't you laugh? Don't you clap?" No lady said, "We'd like to laugh, but we're afraid to interrupt the living actors. It don't seem polite. We'd like to clap, but we don't know when. We don't at the picture."
We played Tampa, the celery city, the biggest celery center in the USA. We played there in November. When we came back in March, the kids in the streets called the actors by their play names. "Hello, Malvolio. Hello, Olivia. Hello, Sir Toby Bell."
In St. Augustine, we played the Nativity on Christmas Eve. In St. Augustine, fountain of eternal youth, city of laughter. But when the church doors opened, there lay the child. Everyone was silent. You could hear a star fall. The turpentine circuit, and we couldn't spare the actors for the big town wheel. We sent the puppets. Since George and the Dragon, Cottontack Minstrel, Hansel and Gretel, Beauty and the Beast, we make the dolls out of unbleached muslin. Those little dolls is just like humans. Come back soon with the little dolls.
Once in Umatilla, at a crippled children's home, the leading actor, one from the big time, said, "Good heavens, why haven't we been doing this all our lives?"
We play hospitals, churches, boys' clubs. We play women's clubs in the American Legion. We play schools. The schools want the classics. When the actors take a curtain call, the audience begins, "Come back soon with She Stoops to Conquer. Come back soon with The Girl of the Golden West. We'll be there waiting when the curtain opens up."
A lion in Florida bit an Asian cashier. Injured on duty for the WPA?
No, sorry. Workman's compensation doesn't cover lion bites.
No hospital kiss him in me, so we had to put him in jail. "I'll never get out of this," he said. "Nonsense, you'll be better than ever." But his nerves were gone. His accounts weren't what they used to be. What to do? "I need an extra. I'll make an actor out of him." He played the father in Inheritors, and played the husband in By Candlelight, and he played the return of Peter Grimm. A lion bit a man and made an actor out of him. Woo! A dangerous president. Woo!
Tampa is a town of another color. In Tampa, they want vaudeville, dance and variety. In Tampa, they want to laugh. Tampa was a star town. Pavlova danced there. The Barrymores played here, and Joe Jefferson. And all the great tour companies. All the Spanish stars. Tampa built the Rialto, a luxury theater. Baths for the actors. Gold leaf on the walls. They built the Rialto in the boom of 25. Broadway hits were housed here. 2 years. And then the boom died. In 1927, dramatic stock came in. This lasted 5 months. then into 10, 20, 30. Folded up in 7 weeks. Then, the same story, city after city. Burlesque. A print shop. A mission closed for repairs.
Meantime, the actors, good actors, pounding pavements. Actors pounding pavements a long way from home, looking for jobs and not finding any. 31, 32, 33, 34, and 35. Road work? Nope. Convict labor. Tobacco factories closing down. Nothing today. Nothing yesterday. Nothing tomorrow. Nothing. 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 We reclaimed the Rialto. The actors scrubbed and painted it. They tuned up the orchestra. They started up the show. It's got to be good, boys. The government is back of us. Let's give them Grand Opera. Let's give them Carmen. Let's give them all the swell stuff we always thought could happen. Let's give them new stuff written on the project. Ready, Aim, Fire, and International Blues. Let's write our own show, a show about Florida. Who made Florida or Sand in Your Shoes?
Attention, from the Herald, Miami, Florida. Miami Federal Theater comes of age.
Attention, Miami's being treated to a unique experiment.
Something entirely new in the way of a stage play.
Short of a feature film. No intermissions, but changing scenes.
Exciting and powerful.
The most interesting stage experiment in America today.
A healthy step in the encouragement of American thought.
New theaters.
American theaters.
Theaters in the making.
Theaters from the past.
Of the present.
Pointing to the future.
Theaters of the WPA.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dick Powell again, and it is my pleasure to introduce the man we've learned to know as the inspiration of the entire motion picture industry, Mr. Lionel Barrymore.
Oh, thank you, Dick. I've been in the theater a good many years. Acting's the only profession I know. I've been a pretty lucky actor. And don't think for a minute that an actor doesn't need plenty of luck. An actor's an odd sort of animal. If he's got any talent at all, he seems to feel that he ought to make his living by that talent. Well, I'm told that doctors and nurses and painters and sculptors are all cursed with the same idea, that they'd like to make their living at what they're good at. Now, when the Depression came along, the theater was badly hit. Well, that didn't stop the actors from wanting to keep on living, however. It didn't stop the stagehands and the electricians and the ushers and the scrub women from wanting to keep on living, too. Well, the government recognized that fact. By golly, one day we found the federal theaters had been established. And those people went to work again. Well, now the Federal Theater was a little different from any we'd ever seen. In the old trooping days, our job used to be to get folks to the theater. And then along came a modern, civilized idea that said, let's take the theater to the people. So the Federal Theater projects weren't limited to the big cities. The government was saying, why shouldn't the people that live in the little towns, villages, remote communities who've never seen a play have the advantage of getting acquainted with the great masters of poetry and drama? But what about the 26 million people who've been benefited by seeing the Federal Theater plays and millions of others who've been finding an education through other art projects? I think they'd be kind of mad if they found they were going to go back to the humdrum world they'd had to live in before the government came along to help them. If I were a farmer, say, living down in the swamps of Florida, and my children had been taught to play the fiddle, or paint a picture, or sing a song, or watch theatrical productions that brought them joy, I don't know how I'd answer them if they asked me why all these fine things were being taken away from them. Maybe I'd want to ask my congressman why their chance to improve themselves had been taken away from them. And he'd have to have some pretty good answers if he wanted to satisfy both me and the kids. Yes, sir. As a farmer, I think I'd be pretty mad. And as an actor, I know I'd be as mad as I ever expect to be in my life if 32,000 decent men and women of my own kind, earning their living in a pretty tough world, were thrown out as though they weren't worth Congress's consideration. Now, it's true, I'm just an old actor talking, but I'm also an old citizen of the United States, and I bet you I can find a lot of people who feel just about the same way I do on this sort of thing. I think it's dangerous for a nation to start proving what a fine country it can be, and then right in the middle of proving it, let it slide back to the dark days of the Depression. If I were a congressman, I'd try to remember that the American people have never let anything be taken away from them. Permanently. Lately, their own country has given them something else besides protective tariff, good roads, good schools, and pellagra control. I hope Congress won't see fit to say, oh, all right, we'll give them their old arts projects for a couple of months more. I hope they'll realize that the help the government's furnished in the last few years has become part of the daily life of the American people and part of their hope for the future. And taking it away would be almost like taking one of the stripes out of the American flag. Now, you mustn't do that. And don't say, well, you can have it for a little while longer. The federal art projects are all part of America today, and you oughtn't to fool with them at all.
Another of our distinguished guests tonight is a man known to all of us for his work on the stage and the screen, who has perhaps sung as many songs to the American people as any singer in our lifetime, Mr. Al Jolson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I just finished a picture in which I revived a great many songs that I sang in years past. Right now, I'm going to sing one of the old ones that is not in the picture, but which seems very appropriate for this occasion. And I'll tell you why I think it's appropriate after you've heard it. All right, Mr. Freed.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar, and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Hey, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, and I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Hey, brother, you ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once I built a tower, yes, a tower to the sun, of brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built the tower, and now it's done. Hey, buddy,
Ain't got a dime about you, have you?
Once in khaki suit, he will look swell. Follow that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare?
That song, as I said, is not in the picture. I haven't sung it for several years, and I'm glad there hasn't been the occasion to sing it. There was when it was written and sung by a pretty sad America a few years ago. It's still a good song, as songs go, but I don't want it to be topical again. And if we don't save the federal arts projects, well, I'll make a little bet that it will be topical again, and that 32,000 skilled men and women will have reason to sing it. Don't let it happen again.
Al, what can we do to prevent it?
Dick, an amendment has been introduced in the Senate committee to save the projects. And here's what I suggest. A telegram to our senator, short and to the point. It reads, I beg you to support the Wagner-Pepper-Downey Amendment.
Just a minute, Al. Let me get that down. I beg you to support the Wagner-Pepper-Downey Amendment.
Signed, Al Jolson.
And Dick Powell.
Patricia Morrison.
Gloria Dixon.
Hugh Herbert.
Gail Thundergard.
John Blondell.
Robert Benchley.
Ralph Bellamy.
Walter Abel.
Henry Fonda.
James Cagney.
Lionel Barrymore.
And let's hope our telegram will be only one of millions like it for America's sake and the furtherance of America's entertainment world.
Michael Newell and Mr. John Steinbeck were impersonated on this program. You have just heard a broadcast of the Motion Picture Guild, which came to you from Hollywood's Radio City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.